right, can you hear me? Right, we are continuing our study on 1 John, and we are coming to the end of this epistle, 1 John. But before I go into the passage proper, I want to say a word of congratulations to the church for calling Pastor Daniel and Ruby into your congregation as pastors. And it's a joy for me to meet Pastor Daniel and Ruby this morning. It's God's provision, I'm sure. And so I want to ask that that you pray. You pray for Pastor Daniel and Ruby, and pray for the leadership of this church. You know, I've been helping out for the last, more than a year now? And it's been a privilege for me, and to see the church continue to grow. And that's important to see that. It is really by God's grace that God is doing here. Let's go into this passage, 1 John chapter 5, reading from verse 13 to 21. As usual, I like to read this passage before I go into the Word. Again, I like to get you involved. So any volunteers, like to read for us, loud and clear. You can see that on the screen, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to 21. Any volunteers? Someone with a loud voice. Even if you have a soft voice, it's okay. It's good to read God's Word. Anyone? Sure, Pastor Daniel, right? Good.
1 John 5:14-17. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death.
All right, thank you. And if you are following this passage and in reading, you will realize that John was talking about praying. And you know, prayer, it's a very strange thing. And I would argue that everybody prays, regardless whether you believe in God or not. Because when you come to the point of your life where you're out of your wits, you pray. That's human nature. Right? You can say, I don't believe in God. I don't think there's a God. But when you come to a point of your life where you are in a life and death situation, what happens? You cry out to God. Say, God, help me. Right? And I've seen that many, many times. Especially those on the deathbed. You know, they're about to die. And they say, where am I going? What happened to me? I'm going to die soon. And the only reaction they will have is that they will pray. Regardless what they believe, they will pray. And prayer has been around since the beginning of time. Primitive people pray. They pray to rocks, they pray to the trees, they pray to idols, calf images, spirits. People pray. Why do people pray? Why is it that prayer is such a natural part of human reactions when we come to a point where we need help? It's because God created us to be spiritual people. We are people that have spirits. I mean, we are spiritual. And so prayer is part of a reaction. And so you can deny it. People may deny it. People may refuse to admit it. But everybody prays. That's my conclusion. And here we see prayer mentioned. I don't know about you, I prayed many, many times over the many years being a Christian, right? I prayed earnestly before God. And sometimes, God didn't seem to answer my prayer. I don't know why. I prayed and nothing seems to happen. I remember there was one time I was waiting on God to call me into ministry because I left the church. And I said, God, I want to take a break. And I took a year off, just kind of sabbatical resting. And then after that, I say, God, what do you want me to do? and nothing happened. So I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and still nothing happened. It was tough. You know, and I'm sure many of you, some of you may have experienced that. You prayed and nothing seems to happen. Have you tried to pray for someone and nothing works? And so praying is kind of interesting. It is a mystery in a way. Because it has got nothing to do with us. It has to do with God. Praying has to do with God. It's not about us. Sometimes we think that by praying many, many times, praying, you know, really hard, God will answer you. Maybe, maybe not. Because it's not about us. It's not the efforts that we put in prayer that God answers prayer. Of course, God wants us to pray. But it is God's doing. You know, when I was in Sunday school, when I was a kid, I was taught that praying is actually conversation with God, right? Just talking to God. And that's correct. Prayer is conversation with God. And God wants us to talk to Him. And what is the conversation all about? Over the years, I prayed for myself, I prayed for others, I prayed for salvation of people, I prayed for people who are sick. I prayed. And I've seen God answered my prayers. And I remember it's really, you know, talking to God. Bringing your concerns. Bring your burdens before Him. And here John talks about it. He says, I write this thing to you believing, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And he's talking to Christians. In verse 14, he says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Isn't that encouraging to read that verse? That we can have confidence in approaching God. But there is this promise. This is promise that when we approach God with confidence, He hears us. That's a promise. But there is a qualification here too. He says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So there is a qualification. It's not about anything you ask and God will hear you. It has to be in accordance to His will. So when we pray, we need to ask whether are we praying in accordance to God's will. And sometimes we say, oh, why isn't God answering me? So the question is, are you praying or have you been praying in accordance to God's will? So that's a question. But the question is, how do you know we are praying in accordance to God's will, right? How do you know? Some of us may be praying, oh, you know, I love this new shoe, you know. I pray that God will give it to me. That's a very sincere prayer. But is it accordance to God's will for you to have a pair of new shoes? That's a question you need to ask. Some of us may be praying for bigger things, great things. God, you know, change Canada. Create a revival in Canada. Spiritual revival in Canada. That's great. Is that God's will? You ask. So as believers, we have confidence that God will answer our prayers if we pray carefully in accordance to His will. And so there's a general principle here that I want to share. If we ask anything according to God's will, He hears us. He will grant us our requests. That's a promise. So don't be afraid to approach God. Don't be afraid to pray. Of course, we need to be very, very careful in what we ask. And so there is a promise that we pray, God hears us, and He will answer our prayers. But again, I said, there is a qualification for that. Let me also share a couple of things about prayer promise. First, John says we should have confidence when we approach God in prayer. Confidence. You know, sometimes we come to God and we're not sure. Like, oh, you know, I've sinned against God. I'm not sure I should pray to God right now. I'm a bit, you know, guilty. I'm ashamed. But John said, no, come in confidence because you are a believer. You come in the name of the Son of God. And you know that you have eternal life because you are a believer. That's what John says. We should have confidence when we approach God in prayer because our confidence is never in ourselves. Again, as I said, it's not about us, it's about God. It is our confidence not in ourselves but rather in Christ. This morning again in the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, we come to the table not because of us, not because of what we did, not based on our credit, not based on our capabilities, but we come because of the confidence in our Lord Jesus. Because we are reminded that Jesus is our high priest. He's our sympathetic high priest. He's a compassionate high priest. That's what the author of Hebrews states. In chapter 4, verse 16, Hebrews says, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the author of Hebrews encourages us to come and pray. Come with confidence to the throne of grace. Our confidence is never in anything in ourselves, but only in Christ Jesus, whose blood gives us access to the very throne of God. We have access to our Lord Jesus. Remember when he cried out, "It is finished," on the cross? Remember that? What happened in the temple? The curtain was ripped apart. And it's because the curtain is not ripped apart because, you know, it was ripped apart. It was ripped apart so that we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We have access. We have access to our Lord Jesus. We don't have to go through a high priest. We don't have to go through the pastor. We don't have to go through the deacon of the church. We don't have to go through somebody. We have personal access to God. And so we can have the confidence. Secondly, we must come into his presence when we pray. I don't know about you, sometimes when I pray, I wasn't in God's presence. My mind was somewhere else. Have you had that experience? Especially in prayer meetings, right? In a church prayer meeting, we all have a group and we all gather around and we sit around and they say, let's pray. And then you listen to other people praying and then your mind is somewhere else. You're thinking about maybe about, you know, your exams, you're thinking about your work. You may be thinking about, you know, what's next after the prayer meeting. He says, come into his presence. We have to come into his presence. It means your presence. That means you are aware. You are totally centered on God when you pray. Your mind has to be focused on God. You know, sometimes we just mumble prayer, which I did all the time. You know, all the time I mumble. It's just a repetitive thing, right? You know, pray for this, hold down the list, right? So and so. Prayer is not just mumbling through a list or repeating some kind of statements. Prayer is coming before the living God, humbling ourselves in his presence. If you do not come before God, we haven't prayed. If you are not in the presence of God, you are not praying. You have not prayed. I remember I used to drive for quite a, you know, long commute to work. And if you have driven on the 401, it's crazy. Especially rush hour. You are just parking a lot, right? You just stop and go, stop and go. And you have lots of time, you know, in the car by yourself. So what I do sometimes, what I did was I prayed. Of course, don't close your eyes when you're doing that. It's not healthy. But it's a good time to pray. It's a good time to spend time with God, isn't it? Because you're alone, you're in traffic, you may be frustrated, but when you pray, you know, it calms you down, right? You kind of, when you're focusing on God, the traffic didn't seem to be an issue anymore. Try that if you have to drive long distances. But we have to enter into God's presence. Because if you don't enter into God's presence when you pray, we are not praying at all. Thirdly, we must come confidently into his presence and ask. Sometimes we don't ask. James, in his letter, in chapter 4, verse 2, pointedly reminds us You do not have because you do not ask. And then he adds in verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasure. Again, not in accordance to God's will. So we need to be sure to ask, not assume. We don't assume. We don't ask with the proper motives. We need to make our requests known to God. Of course, you say, oh, God has omniscience, right? He knows. He knows everything. What do we need to tell him? We can assume he knows. We don't have to pray, he knows. He knows our needs. No, but God wants us to talk to him, conversation. He wants a conversation. He don't want to assume, he wants us to assume that he knows. Of course he knew, because he's God. And so we need to ask. We need to be very specific in our asking. Just like when you ask something from your parents, right? Those of you who are younger. You ask things from parents very specifically. I want that. I don't know what you want. What do you ask usually? I want an iPad. Specific. I want an iPad. You won't say to your dad or your mom, I want something like a computer. It's very vague, right? What do you mean? What is something like a computer? Your parents want you to ask specifically. And you know that you need to ask specifically, right? You need to ask in detail. I want that shoe, that kind of shoe, right? You know, a Nike, whatever you call it. Specifically, right? You don't say, I just want a pair of shoe. No one do that. If you really love the pair of shoe that you saw in a window, you ask specifically. So in the same way, when we go in the presence of God, we ask. We ask God specifically, exactly what you need. God wants a conversation with you. The next is, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's again a promise. He hears us. Our God hears everything. It's God. He hears everything. He won't say, oh, did I miss that? Oh, you were praying, I missed that. Can you repeat that again? No, our God is not like that. Our God is all powerful, all knowing. And since God hears everything, even knows the unspoken secrets of our hearts, he knows our motives. He knows whether we are praying according to his will. You know, God hears everything, even your whispering prayer. I know I've been to churches where, you know, they pray loud. Have you been to a Korean church? The Korean style is everybody pray loud. You know, in a congregation, let's have a Korean style prayer and everybody pray loud. And sometimes I get distracted because I was hearing somebody else praying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just a way, you know, the Koreans pray. But there are many ways we can pray. Many ways we pray. You know, you can pray loud. You can pray in a whisper. You can pray in your heart as well. The point is that we need to pray. We need to make it known to God. And God hears every prayer. Every prayer. He will not miss any single prayer from you. And you say, oh, no, we are in a crowd and everybody prays. How can God listen to every single one of us and know every single thing that we speak? No, he knows. He hears us. I remember one time I was on vacation in Melbourne, Australia. How many of you been to Melbourne, Australia? Oh, none of you. Melbourne, Australia. Australia is far away. The Down Under country. We were on vacation and our friend brought us to this place called the Phillips Island. One of the attractions there in that island was the penguins. They call it the fairy penguins, small little penguins. And the penguins were all, you know, on the shore, and they had nests, like thousands of them on the slope of a shore on Phillips Island. And every morning the parent penguin would go out into the sea for a catch, right? They go out and feed and then bring back the catch. And they go out the whole day. And then when evening comes, they return, whole, like, you know, lots, and then come back. And we were there almost the whole day, and we were waiting for the penguin to come back from their catch in the evening. And then I realized when the sun sets, the baby penguins on the slope of the hill were all chirping around, chirping, you know, waiting for their parents to come back. And there were thousands of them. And they were chirping, chirping, and it was very noisy. And then these little fairy penguins would come back from the catch, and they would, you know, go back to their nest. And it was just amazing. It was almost dark, and they were able to find where the baby penguins are, just by listening to the chirping. Isn't that amazing? You know, they wouldn't go to the wrong nest. They say, oh, where's my baby, you know? Oh, I missed that, you know, where? Shut up, you know, it's too noisy, distracting my ear. But they were able to identify the sound of the baby penguin, and go back to the nest and feed, you know, the babies. God is like that. God listens to a call, listens to every single call. We are all different. And he recognizes every single little prayers, whether it's loud or soft or whisper, whatever. So God hears. Our Heavenly Father knows the crying of his children. He knows. Just like a parent penguin, or even like our parents here, human parents. You know your crying of a kid. Our Father, our Heavenly Father knows the crying of his children. He hears our cry. He hears our prayer. That's amazing. And that's a promise. If we know that he hears us, another promise is, if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. In other words, when we know that God hears, we know that our request made to him is heard. Right? Have you ever talked to somebody and you thought they've heard you, but they didn't? They missed it. But the promise here is that when you say the prayer in accordance to his will, God heard it. In verse 15, right, he says what? If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for him, of him. So that's a promise. And so here the promise is that God heard us. When he hears us, he will answer our prayers. But sometimes we want the answer right away, right? When we pray for something, we say, God, answer me right now. Now and now, not wait, just now. But sometimes God say, wait. Not yet. It may be according to his will, but it's not yet. Not now. Remember Abram? Abram prayed for a son, Isaac, right? He prayed for a son. And God, of course, God in Genesis 12 told him, gave him a promise that you will have a son, or you will be the father of a great nation. And he prayed for a son. You know how long it took God to answer that prayer? Do you know how long? 1 year? 2 years? 5 years? 10 years? No. It took God 25 years before Abraham held Isaac in his arms. That was how long it took for God to answer God's prayer. It's not that God was not capable of answering his prayer. He was capable any time. He could just immediately give Isaac to Abraham right away. But God said, no, you got to wait. He waited for 25 years. And so there is a lot of teaching in the Bible that talks about waiting. I told you earlier that I waited 3 years before God called me to another ministry. Even then, that 3 years took me, you know, like it's like forever. Waiting for 3 years is like forever, let alone 25 years. I would have given up, right? I would say, forget it, God. 25 years? Are you kidding me? I'm old. I'm too old. Abraham was old at that time. But it took him 25 years for God to answer his prayer. But the point is that God answers prayer. It may take time. And when God answers that prayer, it's the best answer ever. The best ever. It's not, oh, I know, 25 years is no longer relevant. Time has changed. But God knew that was the best timing for Abraham. And so the encouragement here is that when we pray to God, God hears our prayer, and we have to wait on Him. But we need to continue to pray. I believe Abraham, after he prayed and nothing happened, he continued to pray. He continued to pray. Pray unceasingly. He didn't stop praying. In fact, he not only prayed, he gave thanks to God too, while he waited. And so these are the promises we can have from God in prayer. And we need to realize that we need to talk to God. Because, as I said earlier, there is a qualification, right? We must ask according to His will. According to His will. I asked a question earlier that, how do you know? How do you know we are praying God's will, in God's will? Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the Lord's Prayer. The disciples was asking Jesus how to pray, and Jesus taught them. And one of the lines in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer is that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we pray that God's will be done. We have to submit to His will. We have to submit to God's purpose. Not our own, but God's purpose. And the only way we know that it is God's will is that we know His Word of God. The Word of God. How else do you know God's will unless you know the Word of God? Because the will of God is found in His Word. It's found in His Word. That's why on Sunday morning we have the preaching of God's Word. That we preach the Word. So that you learn the Word and know God's will. And so if you want to know God's will, you have to study the Word. But again, it's still not easy, isn't it? Still not easy. But the good thing is that we have the Bible. You know that the Bible, it's a holy book of God. It's the holy Word of God. You know, today, sometimes we don't treat the Bible the way it should be. We respect and reverence. Because I'm now with OMF, we are trying to reach out to the Muslims in Toronto and, of course, in the field. And I tell you, your Muslim friends will be shocked and appalled by the way we handle the Bible. And I've seen in church where people throw the Bible. Right? The Bible is ripped off. It's not treated with respect at all. You know the Muslim? They treat the Quran, the Holy Word of God, with respect. They will put it, in fact, in all the libraries in the home, they'll put the Quran on top. It's like, that's the best book, the top book. They will not downgrade the Quran. But Christians don't. We don't really care. We just, we don't even flip it. We don't even read the Bible, let alone, give respect to it. They put it on a special made wooden stand when they read the Quran. That's how they give respect to it. Our Muslim friends will be appalled when they see the way we treat our Bibles. And so I think we should really treat the Word of God with respect. If you read Psalms 119, that's a good psalm to read that talks about the Word of God. That the psalmist look at the Word of God and says it's precious. It's precious than gold. Precious than gold. You don't treat gold like that. You don't throw gold around, right? We treat the Bible, the Word of God, with respect. And we read it. We meditate on it. And if you do that, you will know God's will. You will know God's will. And if you know God's will, when you pray, God will answer your prayers. So we do have confidence. We must have confidence when we enter into God's presence in prayer. Of course, in verse 16 onwards, John talked about a brother committing a sin. We should pray. We should pray for our brother or sister who fall into sin. We should not throw stone at them. We pray for them. We pray that God will turn them around. We should direct them back to God. Galatians 6, it's a good passage that talks about how we deal with a sinful brother or sister. Galatians 6 talks about our attitude towards our sinful brother. It says, verse 1, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." In the same manner here, in 1 John, the same thing John is talking about, if you see a brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray to God, and God will give him life. He should pray, but we should supposed to pray to this for this brother or sister who fall into sin. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. That means you are not committing a sin that is unforgivable. I don't want to go into that because that's going to be another sermon. But here, John is saying that if you commit a sin, let's say if you tell a lie, it's not unforgivable. And if you confess a sin, 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we need to pray. If you commit a sin, we need to pray, we need to confess, we need to repent. If you see a brother or sister falling into sin, we need to pray for them and gently lead them back to God. And then verse 18, it says, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him." In other words, if you are truly a believer, John is saying, in fact, throughout this whole letter, he says, if you are truly a believer, you cannot continue to live in sin. That's not what a Christian should be. If you are truly a believer, you will not continue to live in sin. You will repent. And so, this morning I want to conclude that there is much to learn about prayer. There's still much to know about prayer. And we need to continue to grow in our prayer life. But we should not let anything from keeping us from praying. We should not let anything stop us from praying. Because God wants a conversation with us. He wants us to talk to Him. And so we can come into God's presence, whether it is for a request or a petition, or it's for interceding for anyone, we can come to God in confidence. Or even when we come to God in prayer, in confession, we can come in confidence. Because we are told this morning that God hears us if we ask anything according to His will. He hears us and will grant us our requests. So let us all pray. Let us all pray at all times and not lose heart. Let's pray for each other as a church. Pray for yourself. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the work of the church here. Pray for your family. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are going through challenging times. Pray. Come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, you have given us such an easy access to you that we can come to you any time of the day. in prayer. We pray this morning that this morning's message will encourage us to grow, to seek you in prayer, to have a daily conversation with you, wherever we are. That we will pray in accordance to your will. And when we do that, you will be pleased to answer our prayers in due time. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.